This morning we are continuing to look at, or journey through, I should say, the season of Lent, and we're in the fourth week of Lent, and it seems like in 3 weeks, you know, we're going to be having Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday, and then after that we'll begin to kind of process all of what we gleaned out of Easter. And today we're gonna talk about something I think is sorely missing in our society today. In this journey, we've talked about finding comfort, which I think we all want to find comfort. And I think when we talk about the word comfort, oftentimes we think about living comfortably, right? Trying to be able to enjoy life and have fun and do all the things that we want to do and be able to have the resources to do it. And whenever we talk about finding comfort, that's kind of what we talk about. We think about. And then we talked about peace. We want to find peace, which means we want to find a way to accept what's going on in our lives and to find peace with it and to be to recognize that we all live in seasons, and sometimes the seasons feel like the dead of winter and sometimes they feel like spring. And then we talked last week about love and the importance of being loved and the importance of showing love. Today I want to talk about joy, how Jesus gives us joy. And as I said, I think joy is something that we just don't see much anymore in life, is it? I mean, I've seen so many people just get angry at the drop of a hat, and there's so many people out there that are so caught up in their problems that they just cannot find the joy in things. Maybe some of you, when I was young, my mother used to say this phrase, which you probably are familiar with. Whenever I was going through something difficult, my mom would always say, you know, it's okay. There's people that are going through far worse than you, right? And I would think about that and I go, geez, that's really encouraging, Mom. You know? But she would, and my mom was someone, and still is, someone who always was able to kind of find the silver lining in things. My father was completely different. My father would, he would just hold on to things, and he'd get angry about things, and he would be more angry at himself, and my mom was complete opposite. She could kind of find the fun in things. I remember my mom went down to Berkeley, to the school that I went to, the seminary, because she was training to be a Stevens minister, to lead Stevens ministry, for those of you who know what that is. And it was just a few months before I was to move down there to go to seminary. And, you know, Berkeley is an interesting place. Clothing is optional. There's a different smell there. There's a different attitude there. And I remember walking down on Telegraph Avenue on Saturdays with my friends, and the smell in the air of the incense burning and people selling stuff. You get a whiff of that stuff, and I'll tell you, it's really weird. One day, my mother was with a couple of her friends that were in classes with her, and they just met, and they were walking down the street on Telegraph on a Saturday. And they had been down there for, I think they were down there for a couple weeks. But one of her friends goes, "Well, you look at that." And she looked across the street, and there was three people, an older gentleman and two young ladies, walking down the street in front of everybody, hand in hand, with nothing on but loafers. And my mother, who grew up in Venice, California, didn't even drop a beat. She goes, "Oh, okay, well, just don't look, you know." Now, if that would have been my dad would have ran home, which I've never seen my dad run anyway. He would have run up the stairs. He would have packed his luggage. He'd be out the door because that was just something he was uncomfortable with. But my mother would just not, it's no big deal. I've seen worse. And I asked her, I said, "Well, what was your first thought?" She goes, "Well, at least they were attractive, you know." You know, and that was my mom, and still is my mom. When she decided to move from her retirement home to to live with my sister and her husband. I asked her, I said, well, why do you want to do this? She goes, the food's not any good anymore. She goes, I just don't enjoy the food, and I'm paying for all these meals, and I don't really like the food, so I'm going to move in with your sister because I know I'll get good food there. So, but I think we do. I think we get so caught up in what's going on in our world, and we end up being like my dad and trying to run away from it and just kind of being negative about it, or we are like my mom and we just kind of shake it off and go, well, there's silver lining in it. At least they were attractive, you know. And that's one of the things that I've had to learn just in the last few years, to find the joy in things. I used to be such a pessimist. There were people, when I worked in the grocery business, people would come up to me and say, I don't like it. I don't want to be working when you're here because you're so down and you're so negative. And it was hard for me to accept that because I thought I was a pretty happy guy, but I guess I really wasn't, because life wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought I'd be climbing the ladder in the grocery business, and I was stuck. And every time I wanted to get a raise or get a new position, they would say, no, you're too valuable where you are. And I could never get any higher than I was. So I was hard to live with. And I think sometimes we have to find joy. I think it happens in the church. You know, sometimes we get so kind of down because we wish there was more people on Sunday morning. Or we wish that we had more things going on in the church, and we realize there's joy. Because I want to tell you something. In the last few months, our Sunday morning attendance is more than our average. We've gone over our average. Our giving has increased. There's more people that are coming. There's more people that are wanting to take part. The women's Bible study is starting back up. The Tuesday night Bible study, we're really digging into the book of Job. And we may not always agree, but, you know, that's okay, right? It's good dialogue. And so there's always something we can look at and see some joy and see some happiness. So that's what I want to talk about today. And I want to open your Bibles to John chapter 16. We're going to be looking at just a few verses this morning. But it's Jesus has already kind of talked, like we did last week, about he was the vine and the branches. And today he's continuing to talk about how the Holy Spirit works. And he's talking to his disciples. And he says this, in a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. Well, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a little while, you will see me? And because I am going to the Father. They kept asking what he means by a little while. We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. So ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. I was thinking about the disciples. Up until that point, the disciples were in a pretty good place. They were following Jesus, and they were seeing what Jesus was doing, and there probably was some of them who felt like, you know, if Jesus becomes king, I'm going to have a place right by him, and I'm going to be, you know, my life is going to be better than ever, and that, you know, most of my life I've been just a fisherman, but now I'm going to be something big, you know, and now Jesus tells them this. He says that he's going to be separated from them. He's going to be away from them. Can you imagine the emotions that they must have felt, that this excitement that they had been experiencing, and now all of a sudden this joy is going to be taken away from them? But he also says, in a while, your joy will return. They knew that they would be separated from him. They knew Jesus would be gone. But how long? They didn't know. He who had the words of eternal life, the very one whom they had come to believe and know as the Holy One of God, he was going away. Their life's breath was being squeezed from their spirit. But what does it mean in a little while? They asked the question that you and I would ask, what do you mean by that? What are you talking about, that you're going to be going away and then pretty soon we'll see you again? And what is this a little while? I mean, how long really is that? I think we've all have asked this question. When we are going through adversity, when the path is steep, the way is narrow, the air is thin, and we are near exhaustion, that is what we want to know. How long is a little while? Today there may be some of you here that are dealing with pain, whether it be emotional or physical, or maybe you feel distant from God, or maybe you're dealing with decisions that you made in your life maybe long ago that you're still paying for it. Or maybe you're dealing with addiction, or maybe you're dealing with not having a job or not having an understanding of your purpose. Or maybe you're going through medical issues right now, and those medical issues are really knocking you down. Or maybe you know somebody who's dealing with medical issues, and it affects you too. We have a woman in our church, Sharon. We miss her terribly. And she's going through a lot of emotional things right now. We need to keep her in prayer as well. So you can kind of understand what these disciples were going through. They were in a season of confusion, just like we are. You know, we've been Tuesday nights looking at Job, and, you know, Job's in a season of confusion. He believed that he's been doing everything right, and yet all so much has been taken away. And he doesn't understand. Just like we don't understand when things don't go the way we want them to go. When I was thinking about what I wanted to preach on for the season of Lent, I asked God, you know, what do you want me to tell this congregation, and what do you want them to hear? And I realized that all of us are going through pain one way or another. All of us are dealing with stuff in our lives. Sometimes we share it, sometimes we don't, sometimes we keep it to ourselves, sometimes we let it out, sometimes we ask for people to journey with us, to give us someone to lean on. As a church, sometimes, you know, we deal with differing worship styles, or we deal with the changes that are taking place in the church or in our denomination or in our community or in our society. The thing that we have to understand as churches is we cannot stay the same as we always have been. Because our community changes, the needs changes. Pastors come, pastors go, they change, right? And so we have to be willing as a church to change with it. Because what we did 50 years ago is not going to be effective today. Or even 10 years ago or 20 years ago. We have to find a way to bring joy back into being in the church. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Because I too wanted to know, how are we to bear up against the trials and the discouragement? Because as a pastor, I don't have a red line to God, and I don't have the perfect answer to even the struggles that I go through, because I'm like you. I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes, and I sometimes open my mouth when I probably should have shut it, or sometimes I shut my mouth when I should have said something, you know? And so how do we deal with these trials that we go through? And in the process, how do we do that and find joy? Well, Jesus is addressing his disciples, and he's also addressing us. He says, "Very truly I tell you, you will have pain." That's no breaking news. We all understand that. We know that much, that we will be feeling pain. But that's not where he stops. He goes on, he says, "You will have pain, but your pain will turn to what? Joy." But how many of us, when we're going through the pain, are we looking forward to the joy, or are we just living in the pain, right? Someone told me I had a friend of mine in Indiana that he would always talk about seasons, you know. And I say, we'd be praying as a pastor's group, we'd be praying, and I'd say, you know, some pastor would come up and say, "Well, our church is going through a really rough patch right now financially." And he goes, "You are going through a season of financial difficulties, or a season of loss, or a season of pain, or a season of confusion." It was always a season. And we're all going through seasons. Some of us are just getting started. Some of us are in the middle. Some of us are hopefully coming to the end where we can see the light, we can see the joy, we can see that something good is going to come out of it. So there's two things that I want us to understand today. First is Jesus is going through what we go through himself. He goes through it too. Every emotion that you feel, Jesus has felt. Jesus said, "In a little while you will no longer see me, and again in a little while you will see me." So what is he talking about there? He's talking about what is going to happen to him soon. He's talking about his death and resurrection. He's talking about what we affirm in the Apostles' Creed. When we say, "Crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell and rose again from the dead." This is the heart of our faith. It is the core of our hope. And it is the guarantee of our joy. That what we may be going through right now is not long-lasting. It's a season. And that when the season ends and a new season begins, it will be a season of joy. I'm looking forward to the joy. And I think what we have to do is take every day as a joy. How many of you, when you get up in the morning, you have a smile on your face and you're excited about the new day? How many? Anyone?
After coffee.
After coffee, right? Got to have the coffee first. There should be a mug somewhere. There probably is. That says, "Joy comes after coffee," you know, something like that, right? I agree with you that, you know, it's good to have a cup of coffee, get you going. But how many of us really wake up in the morning and we're excited about the day? Or how many of us get up in the morning and go, "Oh, man, I got so much to do today. And oh, man, I got this meeting and this meeting and this meeting. I got this client and that client, and I got to get my kids and all this. Oh, I'm just not looking forward to this day. Can I just lay down?" That's why we have the snooze button, right? So we can hit that snooze button and we can lay in bed for another 10 minutes or so. How many of us get excited about getting up in the morning and finding joy? Even in the midst of a season of struggles, we still need to find joy. Why? Because Jesus has gone through it just like we have. There's a wonderful piece of scripture found in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "The pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has now taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." What does it mean to find joy? It means that, as the Bible says, we begin to look like Jesus. We speak like Jesus. We think like Jesus. We act like Jesus. I have learned in my life that what I try to do is find the good in people. I try to, because I really do believe that people, all people, are generally good people. Sometimes we just have to look at them with the eyes of God. And sometimes we need to not have any kind of judgmental thoughts about a person. It's hard. It really is. It's hard when you have people come and they demand things and they want things and you want to love, you want to show them the love of God, and sometimes, you know, it's pretty hard to do that. Or sometimes you have a relative or a friend that just demands that you do something for them, and, you know, it's really hard. It's really hard to be like Jesus. But did you catch the phrase here in that scripture from Hebrews? The joy that was set before him. You see, he endured the sorrow. He bore the pain. He suffered in the same way you and I do. And he did it. Why? Because he knew that there was going to be joy. That out of this pain, something miraculous was going to happen. And it wasn't necessarily for him, it was for us. And he knows the way. Many years ago, when I lived in Indiana, I had a dear friend, Tim. My parents were coming to visit, and they wanted to drive up 4 hours to Chicago, and I'd never been to Chicago before. And I didn't know where to go and what to do, and so I asked Tim, because Tim had gone up there many times. I said, Tim, can you go with us? We'll get you a hotel room, and we just stayed, I think we stayed one night, and he said, yeah, I'll go with you because I know great places to go. And I said, all right. If we didn't have Tim with us, we'd probably be just kind of wandering around, not quite knowing where to go or what to do or what we thought would be fun. And it was a wonderful time because we had Tim with us. And it's the same thing. You know, Jesus goes with us in this journey. He doesn't just say, okay, you need to go up here and then hang a left and you'll be fine. He doesn't say that. He goes with us. He takes the journey with us. And he's always there. The second thing that you need to understand is that Jesus knows the territory that we live in today. And now he will carry us through whatever that journey is, whatever that season is. How does he do that? Well, one of the ways he will get us through is prayer. He says in verse 23, there is a day coming when you will ask me no question. Why? Because all the mysteries will be solved. All the things of the world will be made perfectly clear. And you will begin to understand why things happened the way they did. I don't know about you, but I have developed in my mind a list of questions that I want to ask God when I get to heaven. Male pattern baldness would be one. Why did I get a hold of some bad genes? Because according to my mother, baldness is on the mother's side, but her father had a full head of hair. I don't understand it. Somewhere along the line, I got a hold of some bad genes. But that's okay, because I'm okay with it now. Right? But there's probably questions that you want to ask God too. And you know what? When that joy comes, you're going to get all of your questions answered. Why did I have to go through that period in my life? Why did I have to lose my spouse? Why did I have to do that? Why did this job not happen to me when I really wanted it? Generally, what happens, if you're like me and I've had experiences where I really prayed for something and it didn't happen, and I found out later in life that I'm glad I didn't, and I found joy in that, knowing that I was in a better place where God led me. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully. And I get it. That was then, that is then, and this is now. Today we may not be able to see the outcome. Today we may not get all of our answers, our questions answered. But we still have prayer. And just as Jesus said to his disciples, until now you have not asked anything in my name, ask and you will receive so that your joy may be complete. And that's what prayer is all about. It's talking to the Father in Jesus' name. It's a way to stay connected when we're in that season of pain. You can carry your struggles to God, and He carries you through your struggles to the joy that is waiting on the other side of your pain. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it's short. So what exactly are we to pray for while we're dealing with this long wait, this extended period when He says, in a little while? Well, you can do like I do and pray for relief. And sometimes relief is little bits and pieces of things. You know, as a pastor, sometimes when I feel down and discouraged, sometimes those little reliefs are when people come up and say, I really like that sermon. Or I just really feel like God is leading me to do this, and it was all because of this that I felt that. Or when I see children, when I was a youth pastor and many years working in youth ministry and working with kids, and those little reliefs, you know, those moments when one of your kids would come up to you and say, can I just talk to you? Those moments in our lives that are just little reliefs, little things that help us. And I know, and I can pretty much guarantee that those little things are happening to you too. That even in the midst of journeys of sorrow and sadness and discouragement, there's these little moments that shine for you. If you're like me, you pray for relief. I'm reminded of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, probably one of the most amazing moments in Jesus' ministry where He showed His human side and He knows what's going to happen to Him. What does He pray? He prays that the cup would pass from Him. He was hoping for another way to be able to do what God wanted Him to do. How many of us in our lives ask for the same thing? The other thing that we need to pray for is a perspective of God. When we pray like Jesus prayed in the garden, yet not my what I want, but what you want. I think so often we pray for things that we desperately want in life when what we need to really be praying for is what God wants for us. Because what God wants for us is far better, and it's going to lead us to that joy. To look at situations with the eyes of faith and trusting in God's will. Pray for a longer view. Pray for a perspective of eternity and not just temporary. Because you and I may be going through many afflictions, but on the other side of them is a joy that can be ours in no other way. But I also do not want you to get confused and think that the only way you're going to find joy is by reaching the other side of the storm. Because even in the midst of your storm, God is where? He's right there with you. That's why I say that there's going to be some joy, little bits and pieces of joy along the way. Isaiah 43 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You see, Jesus has gone through the fire Himself. He will carry us through. He's waded through the deep and the rushing waters, and He will give us access. And I cannot tell you how long your little while is going to be or how short it will be, but what I do know is this. The message of the gospel, the testimony of the Bible, and the witness of the Spirit will converge on you to assure you that whatever you are going through, Jesus will get you through it. Which leads us this morning to the little slips of paper that you're going to find in your bulletin. And I want you to do something for me. On that slip of paper, there's a little phrase that says, if you don't have it, I'll get you one, but most of you should. It says, whatever I am going through, Jesus will get me through. Does everyone have one of those? Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to take that piece of paper and put it somewhere where you'll be able to see it. When you go to bed tonight, I want you to read that. When you wake up tomorrow morning, I want you to read that. And then I want you to put it in your wallet, in your purse, whatever. And throughout the day, this week, I want you to take it out and I want you to read it. And then there's a little prayer there. Jesus, you have promised me that my pain will turn to joy. Help me to believe your promise. Amen. I want to encourage you to believe that. I want to encourage you through your time of whatever season it is, whatever situations are going on in your life. And I want you to believe that whatever it is, that you can trust that whatever pain you're experiencing right now, whatever it is, that God will, in God's time, turn it to joy. So take that with you this week. And wake up tomorrow morning with a smile on your face. Get your cup of coffee. And say, today is going to be a day where God is going to do something great. Where God is going to change me or change somebody in that I have influence over. Or he's going to open a door for me. Or he's going to do something that's going to bring just that little relief, that little joy that will carry me forward. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray for all of us here today that we can find joy. You know, so often it seems like it eludes us, and we know where it comes from. We know that we can have it, and yet sometimes we just want to live in the pain, and we don't think that there's even a way out, and sometimes we think, well, we caused this pain, so we're just going to have to deal with it. But the reality is, God wants us to live with joy. He doesn't want us to live our days looking at the negative or knocking down other people because you're having a bad day or because you want to make yourself look good or whatever. But to find the joy in people and the joy in situations and find the joy in just living our lives for you and finding the joy in just waking up in the morning and recognizing another beautiful day, another new day. Help us, Lord, to understand that out of whatever we're going through that's discouraging and knocking us down, that Lord, there is joy. And it's coming. And we just pray this in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.